When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Is episodes once a week not enough for you, or are you looking for more technical information from the Mixing Music Podcast? Well, guess what? Now you can. You can subscribe to our exclusive content and triple the amount of episodes that you get access to. That's right. Instead of the free once a week episodes, you get 3 episodes a week for only $4 a month or $40 a year. Go to mixingmusicpodcast.com/exclusive to get access to those episodes now. Hello and welcome back to the Mixing Music Podcast. I am your host, DK, and with me, as always, is my lovely co-host, Lady Kittalaloo.
You know, I'm not going to lie, with this new haircut, I'm pretty handsome. Anna's not going to love this but I could say I'm an Anna killer.
Yeah, there you go. Anna killer, that sounds like bad. That sounds murderous.
The lovingly lovely Lou.
Yeah. Keep digging. And anyway, today we have a very special guest on the podcast. Our new and lovely friend, Mark Abrams. Say that right?
You did. Yeah.
Okay, phew. I should have confirmed the proper pronunciation, but luckily
that
was easy
it.
Enough.
I got nailed it.
Mark,
you did better
amazing.
Than they did on title on a lot of my credits, so good job.
Oh my god. We could go on about that.
Right. I had 3 mistakes on 1 song. I got credited 3 times, each time was different, and I don't know how that's possible.
On a single song.
On a single song.
Spellings.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
But Mark is absolutely amazing. We're very blessed to have him on the show. Mark is the content manager for PureMix.net. If you're familiar with PureMix, they're an awesome website specifically about engineering, producing. They interview a bunch of awesome high-level Grammy-winning, award-winning engineers and producers. Mark is a co-founder of a social media automation platform called Echo Punch, which we may talk about later during the episode. Is 20 years plus in the industry, from not in any of the big music hubs. So you're in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Columbus,
close by, and has been in the industry for over 20 years, has worked with big names. Most recently, you had a role in Jack Harlow's new album that just came out, where you tracked remotely, we might even talk about that on the show.
I'd love to hear more about that.
And has worked with names with people like Angel Lopez, Spencer Sutherland, Buggy, and more, and companies like FX, Universal, McDonald's, Sony, Nintendo, Toyota. I'm allowed to say this as a third party, Mark, you're a big deal, and we're grateful that you're willing to take some time to be on the podcast with us and share some of your extremely deep knowledge and, you know, share that knowledge with us. So how have you been? How are you doing?
I'm good. Man, you know how to make a guy feel special. Thank you. I'm honored to be here.
The day I met him.
Nice. No, I'm very honored to be here. I've been enjoying your podcast for a while now. So yeah, this is great. Thank you for having me.
This is awesome. I'm glad that you've listened to the podcast before, and I'm glad that I'm not just speaking into the void, which I would be very content with that.
Right. Right. Yeah. That's how it is at first, right?
Yeah. But thank you so much. We are live right now on Twitch as well. We live stream every podcast recording on Twitch. You could go to twitch.tv/DKMixes. That is DEEKEI Mixes. Or go to mixingmusicpodcast.com, click on Watch Us Live right there, and then you can follow us. Lou also mixes or does mastering mixing, doing some mix feedback, whatever you do, on Monday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
It's actually just me in a hot tub in a bikini playing with like colorful like pinballs.
Oh, lights, you're in for some exclusive.
Lights. Yeah. While I mix a song.
Exclusive, not safe for work content with Lou.
OnlyFans / Lou.
Actually,
you do have an OnlyFans.
I do have an OnlyFans account. Yes, and not as a viewer, as a content creator.
And the bio is like, I knew you'd look, you creepy person, or something. No, like that.
It's I knew you'd look, pervert.
That's awesome.
But anyways, not everything on OnlyFans is bad, but you know.
We're excited to talk a lot with Mark. About many different topics that we want to dive into. And we're trying to figure this stuff out. Let's start with something technical because all the viewers love all the technical information.
Yeah.
But let's first start off with, you said you had a lot of passion about workflow and specifically with automation within the DAW and outside the DAW. Can we just start off there?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you're going to have to cut me off because I can go on forever about this. So automation inside and outside of the DAW. So little backstory. Similar time as you, I believe, in 2019, I became a dad for the first time. So almost 3 years old now. And it's the most amazing thing ever. It's a little bit of a butt, but it's not a bad butt. So the hardest thing about becoming a new dad when you're working like 14 hours a day, it's figuring out I have to find time for this so I can not be a bad dad, right? And that was my life before we had my son. It was studio sessions well into the night. I was working on PureMix from the morning until about 3 p.m. and then it was studio sessions until I crashed. And that wasn't, you know, 6-7 days a week. That's not sustainable when you have a kid. So when we were, you know, found out that we were going to have Vince, my son, it just sent me down this rabbit hole of trying to figure out how am I going to make this work? And it's not a question of how am I going to make this work. It's I need to make this work and let's figure it out now or whatever, you know, cause it was exciting and not like in a bad way at all. I was super pumped about it and it's been amazing, but something had to change. So around that time, I met a friend of your show, Chris Graham, who's also in Columbus, Ohio. He has the Six Figure Home Studio podcast with Brian Hood. And Chris took me out to lunch one day after an event that I didn't hear in Columbus. And I really didn't know much about him. We hadn't met before. And I checked out his podcast. Like I went to lunch with him and I was like, wow, this guy is amazing. Super nice, first and foremost. And then also, man, does he know his business shit. So after that, I checked out his podcast, and one of the things that they talk about a lot in there is systems, and specifically, they were talking in early episodes a lot about a thing called Zapier. So Zapier, for anybody who doesn't know, you have to stop me if I'm getting long in the tooth here, but Zapier basically connects a bunch of different web applications. So you could have something happen with automation. You have two things. You have a trigger and you have an action. So something starts a chain of reactions, right? So Zapier, you could say, every time that I get an email from this email address, I want you to put an event on my calendar, post it on Facebook, send a Twitter off to my mom, and create a Google Drive folder or whatever, and send a file request to D to upload his mix, to DK to upload his mix. So I started like looking into that, and it became the answer for all of my time problems, specifically related at first to PureMix. And I'll try and quick story. NAMM of 2020, I had to put together a show for Andrew Sheps that we are going to shoot entirely at NAMM. And this, for anybody who's interested, is called Between Two Shures. It's on our YouTube channel. Andrew just like going to town on other engineers. It's a playoff of Zach Galifianak's Between Two Ferns.
It's like the troll show. It's just amazing. Trolling.
Yeah.
I've seen the one with Greg Wells. It's so funny.
It's so crazy. Yeah. We were dying when we were shooting those. But basically, what happened with that as it's related to automation was a week before NAMM, Fab had the idea to do this. And he's like, I want all the mentors on PureMix to do one if they're at NAMM. So, and he was also like, Mark, make it happen. So I'm like, I have 7 days to organize 20 interview slots over a day and a half. and it has to fit around Andrew's schedule with all of his appearances on the show floor. So that the normal way would be like, all right, let me start chain emails and all that stuff and get everybody to respond that's interested, blah, blah, blah. That was going to be a whole lot of email. Plus, I was traveling to NAMM and I had to set up all the other stuff that we were doing for NAMM. So I thought about Chris's podcast. I looked into Zapier. I created what's called a Calendly, which is like a calendar that you can select available times and all that. So I found out Andrew's availability, put that into Calendly. I sent an email to everybody and said, if you're interested in this, click on this form. Brought them to a form. It asked them a bunch of questions about themselves that Andrew could use during the show. Sent them off to the Calendly so they could select a time, email confirmation, and the responses from that form over to Andrew. So within 3 hours, I built out this system, sent it off to everybody, and then everybody just started booking times, and I didn't have one conversation. And then the show came, and we started doing the interviews, and it was sending out reminders the morning of the interview, reminding them, hey, you have an appearance with Andrew Sheps at blah, blah, blah time. And 20 interviews happened from 3 hours of work and zero conversations with 20 different people that I had to coordinate. So I was like, aha, we're on to something. So that was step one. And then the pandemic hit and I went into my hole and learned all about automation because that thing saved my life in that moment. It was just like an insane feat that it proved the power of it basically. So I have about 1,000 more examples like that, but that was the one that set it all off.
That's actually really cool. And funny enough, me and DK actually met at that NAMM.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
We were at the Antares booth.
So hold on. Before we move on, are you going to the next one? Are you going to the one in next month?
I don't think I am. If I am, it's going to be another last minute thing, and I'll find out I have to organize 20 interviews in a couple days.
At which point, you know, Zapier for the win.
Let us know if you do go.
Yeah,
I will. By the time this episode releases, though, we would have already gone, probably. So.
Right. Yeah, it already happened.
So for those of you living in the future...
Yeah, it was so great
was at
to see
the Antares booth.
It was crazy.
Yeah, and I didn't think I was going to go, and then we saw each other.
Yeah. You know, you were wearing a really cool shirt. It said DK and Lou Mixing Music Podcast.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, I have that shirt every year.
It was really awesome. Like, we didn't even make it.
that was just very much like, what is that called? Lip service or customer service? Don't know. What's the word where... It's fan service. There we go. That was just fan service. Yeah.
How awesome would it be if I like reached down and pulled up that shirt right now?
Oh, that would be so just cool.
Like he's so far prepared for this. Zapier really saved the day for him.
So this is so fun. We talk a lot about systems, and we've talked about that on multiple episodes of the show, and how people have done it specifically different ways. So but especially from the idea, the concept, the perspective of becoming a new dad. Hmm. Yo, that is. It's not scary. It's more like, it's a little bit scary, but it's more like you're just motivated to not do anything. Yeah. Like before I feel like I was okay doing everything manually. And if it took 100%. 80 hours, it was cool. But now that I have kids, it's just like, no. I've been lazy this entire time. I no longer can be lazy. I got to put my butt into gear. And it's funny, everybody that I've ever talked to on the show and outside the show, that whether they were in music business or a different sector, but they'd always say when they had kids, they made more money in less time because of that. It's like,
you're like, okay,
I know how to do all this stuff, or I've looked into all this stuff. Now I'm going to get my butt into gear and do it because now I have a reason to. So that's
amazing. Yeah. That is so true. Yeah.
And for you, I mean, with what's like the funniest or not the funniest, the most non-expected, or what's your like weirdest Zapier chain?
Oh, these get fun.
Okay, this is a good one. It's a good one. So there was a record by an amazing band here in Columbus. Like I've known about them for a long time, and they had done like some events at the studio, but we had never done a record together. And they reached out because they wanted me to mix the record, but they don't have a lot of means. So they reached out and they're like, you know, can you give us a quote? I gave him a quote and the guy like laughed and he was like, man, I'm so sorry. He's like, I can't. He's like, we don't have to talk anymore. It's okay. And I was like, well, hold on a minute. Like, I love what you guys are doing. Let's talk for a second about it. Tell me about it. You know, so like they told me it was like a 10 song record. They had $800. So I was like, $80 a song. I don't think I can do it. And I was like, let me get back to you. So I like thought about it for a little bit, and there were like some pretty powerful messages in the songs. Like I wanted to help get this project into the world. So I thought about it, and this is totally a gamble. I'm not a stock person. I can't give financial advice, any of that stuff. But my wife was really excited about Tesla at the time, and the stock price was stupid low. So I thought, like, well, what if I do this thing and then we just put the money on there? Maybe it'll work out and I'll end up getting my rate or whatever. So this is so dumb. This is really dumb. This fits your criteria for dumb zaps. But I took the record and I did it because I felt like it was important. And I made a Zapier that would go and check the price of the stock every day and then send me a text telling me how much that record was now worth or whatever. And not recently, as of the last couple of days, because things have been bad, but the record actually, like, or that whole thing, that Zap eventually told me that I made my regular rate on the thing or whatever from how well Tesla did.
Did you cash out the day you did?
I should have. I absolutely should have. No, but I'm back down below my regular rate now. But the messages were important, so it was all good. I was fine.
Yeah, to be honest, like, I've been looking at the recent dip, and I'm like,
yeah,
hold your money. Like, you want to buy the dip, but I don't know if this is the right dip to buy.
Have you guys seen the BTFD video?
Oh, no, I haven't.
All right.
Why?
Man, not the right time for a YouTube rabbit hole, but I'm tempted to pull it up. I'll send it to you guys after. Everybody go look up BTFD after the show on YouTube.
BTFD. I'm going to look this up too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, that's hilarious.
Yeah, it was crazy. So.
And amazing. I mean, that's a good idea. So actually, I want to dive into, I think this is a good topic as well. I want to dive into what you said, which is, I think it's something that's overlooked. Oftentimes, I do feel like engineers, producers will give rare, albeit rare, discounts for projects that they either really believe in or they really enjoy or they're really committed to the person, something like that. What are some of your reasons why you would discount any of your services that would deem it something as this is good for the world?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, specifically, I mean, message is a huge part of it, right? Like, that one was coming around the time of BLM, and there were just a lot of important concepts on the record, and felt like the support, like, it just needed support to get out in the world. And I also love the band. Message is a big one, but that also precedes, relationship precedes message for me. So it's like anybody could, you know, get in touch with you and be like, hey, I have this, you know, record that I want to make about this important issue. And that's awesome. But if you don't know that person or their credibility, or you don't have like a personal relationship with them, maybe the answer is a little different or whatever. I don't know. It just depends if you know that person means what they're saying. But relationship is probably the biggest one for me. And I love helping people. That's like, if I have the means to help people, I whether that's education or whatever, or something like mixing a record for a discounted price, I genuinely enjoy if I can be of service to somebody, which is, you know, obviously what we do. But
I think there's something this is like a topic that's very personal to me that I've brought up multiple times, kind of give, you know, kind of get some advice even on this. But I feel like in order to be willing to do something like that, you have to also maintain your passion for the craft, like your passion about mixing.
Yeah.
So then something like that comes along when you're like, okay, I'm willing to discount because at the end of the day, I like doing what I do.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
So for you, have you ever had any issues during your career about staying passionate about the craft? And if so, or if not, like, how do you maintain your level of passion for the craft?
I have a yes and a no answer to that. So there's never been a point in my career where I questioned if this is what I wanted to do. That's never even crossed my mind. But there are days that I have to force myself into the chair. And that's usually from external situations. Or I have something on my desk that I'm not passionate about, you know, which, like, you know, there's many, many interviews out there of people who say, like, just don't do those gigs or whatever. And like, that's usually why, you know, it's like, if, if you are feeling like you're forced to sit in front of, like I have a beautiful setup here. If it's work for me to sit down in front of this setup and enjoy what I'm doing, something is wrong, you know, because it's like everything I ever dreamed of. So how could I be feeling this way right now? And that's what comes through my head anytime that I do have those humps. It's just like, dude, you know, 10 year ago, you would be smacking you across the face, Will Smith style right now. Like, you know,
totally. So how do you stay grateful? Do you have any exercises or practices or anything like that to remind yourself that to be grateful?
Man, a lot of it is just like, thinking about how I couldn't have imagined where I am at in my career, at any point in the past. You know, that like having appreciation for that and staying, I don't know if staying humble is the right word, but just knowing that it's special. Like it's what we get to do is, I mean, it's a privilege. Like we make music all day. How crazy is that? Right. Like it's freaking crazy. We get paid to make music. It's awesome. You know? So I think that that's like just reminding myself of that. And then another one, which is like, maybe this isn't the most positive thing, but there's a GIF that I love that I like, I keep like on my computer in a rememberable place is there's a GIF of it's zooming out of Earth, like from like a town, and then it keeps going out and it's like, there's like a larger part of the state and then the state, and then it goes out and there's the country, then there's the globe, and then it keeps going and it's like, there's the Milky Way, and then it keeps going. It's like galaxy, 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 galaxy. That's usually like how I minimize my problems to myself. You know, I'll be like, in the grand scheme of things, it's okay that, you know, whatever happened this morning or whatever. So that's
absolutely
diminishing, but yeah.
So going back to, I want to go back to automation. And I know that as working at PureMix, you've had the chance to work with many, many big engineers. And I assume take a lot of different techniques, practical techniques into your own skill set as well. What are some of your favorite things that you've seen people do and that you, or that you incorporate yourself or that you've learned about automation in the DAW? Like how the listeners can, things that the listeners can take away from.
Yeah. Okay. So number one is, like when we talk about systems, it's all the things that we do to help make our job faster. And, the phrase that I love, which is not unique to me, but like moving at the speed of creativity, right? Like how do we remove every barrier that keeps our brain from slowing down ever? Because our brain is, it's faster than any control surface I can get. It's faster than any console. Doesn't matter, like it is faster, right? All of this stuff is in our way. So figuring out like what the barriers are and trying to remove those as much as possible is extremely important for one. Another one, this is probably off topic, but moving with intention is surprisingly a large part of creating systems and automated systems, you know, the same as it is with our music, where like if Vance Powell is my favorite example of this, and we could talk more about that if you want to. But when that guy mics up a drum kit, that drum kit sounds like that drum kit. It's not like any sort of default drum kit setup or like a regular thing that you would imagine. It is like the Vance Powell sounding drum kit or whatever. And that, when he tracks it that way and it goes down to tape that way, when he goes to mix, it's a flash because it's already mostly there, right? It's just, you know, going to have to be adjusted around the other things that came later in the production. But that is a system to me. Like getting it right on the way in and moving with intention and taking, you know, even just a minute to stop and say, like, what is it that I want to come out of the speakers before I touch any knobs or plugins or whatever? What's up here? What's in the head? And then moving from there, that makes everything faster down the line. And it helps everybody move easier too. Sorry, like, feel like it's a little off topic, but to go into like DAW systems, are you guys hip to SoundFlow?
So I've been looking into it, mainly because I do have like the little Stream Deck and everything.
Yeah.
And the people that I've talked to about it have been swearing by it for like production workflows and mixing. I mainly only mix and master nowadays, mostly master.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of curious as to what it can offer. The only thing is like it's scary to try something out with a paywall.
Yeah. There's a trial.
There's a trial. I'm down to try it.
Yeah. I'm going to preface this because I'm about to fanboy out on SoundFlow or whatever. I do not work for them. But I've done, we've done a bunch of podcasts about it on Andrew's show, and I'm definitely a big advocate. Are you hip to it,
DK? What are some of your favorite? I know what it is. I've done it in the past. I have a couple macros on my custom keyboard. I make keyboards, so I have a couple macros here, but I don't have SoundFlow. I've looked into it a lot. What are some of your favorite automations with SoundFlow? Or first talk about what SoundFlow is.
Okay.
And then let's talk about like what are your favorite macros or automations?
I don't want to gloss over the fact that you make your own keyboards though, because that's amazing.
You should see the one.
Here's one on my desk right now.
Oh, that is sick. Nice. You have like
I have a couple macros. I have a couple macros on all my keyboards.
Oh my gosh. Awesome. Man, I want
a tracking keyboard, a mixing keyboard, a mastering keyboard. No. He doesn't have analog tools. He has keyboards.
I have tracking buttons and mixing buttons though.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Oh dude. Okay. I feel like you're gonna love this one. Yeah, your brain's already like hip to this. So SoundFlow, for anybody who doesn't know about it, is it isn't only for Pro Tools, but it works best in Pro Tools right now. Basically, it allows you to take a bunch of actions and chain them together. So think of it like this. Let's say that you are you're prepping a session for mixing, right? And you get a folder full of stems. You hit a button and it asks you like this is just like riffing off the top of my head here. It asks you where the folder is, whatever you tell it. It imports the files, and then you know you've got all your tracks inside of Pro Tools. Let's say you select all your drums, and you can fire off a macro any number of ways, but one of the easiest is with the Stream Deck. So you hit a button on your Stream Deck and you say route to my drum aux, and it routes all of those tracks to your drum aux, colors them to your preferred color, and then honestly the sky's the limit, because from there you could also say like, and also put like a Pro Q 3 on those, and then create a stereo aux that all of those are routed into, and throw a 33609 on it, and then turn the fader down 18 dB or whatever. Like
okay, so now I have to ask this question, because you just hold on. Okay, I want to put a hypothetical chain.
Okay,
tell me if this is possible.
Let's do it.
Could you, okay, after routing to the drum aux, could you then add SoundRadix auto align and then have it auto assign one, like whatever the first track is, to be the key and the rest of them to listen to it, and then add Pi to it and then render it down?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I need SoundFlow.
Do that. One example.
I love tracking drums and I hate having to do all the phase correlations and everything and just.
Right.
Oh my God. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I can definitely do that. I have one that, do you guys know Defaulter?
Yeah.
Okay. So Defaulter is, an audio suite plugin that you can basically say like, I want all of my clips to be minus 18 dBFS or like zero V or whatever. Right. And then you hit analyze on Defaulter and it uses clip gain to automatically clip automatically gain that clip down or up to the level that you want. So if you're like Chris Lord-Alge and you have your outboard gear set to a certain setting, you have your assistant normally do that stuff by hand and like kind of gain match stuff going into like, say your Blue 1176, it's always hitting at the same level because his assistant set it to hit at that level. So with Defaulter, you could say like, hey, put my vocal at minus 18 and then it'll clip gain it to that point. So I have one that
I'm looking at it right now. That is actually pretty freaking sweet. So you can almost use it like one use of this is actually like, so you don't have to hit the compressor as hard.
Yeah.
Just like cut up the different splices where like, okay, the chorus is a lot louder than the bridge, and then like kind of normalize or just turn up and down the volume until it's like a consistent LUFS or whatever that you pick.
Yeah. And Chris is my favorite example of that, because it's pretty public that like he really rarely turns around to tweak his, you know, like his lead vocal compressor. He just has it hit at the right level going into the compressor every time. Which like, you know, whether you dig that or not, this is what's possible with Defaulter. So one thing that I'll do some of the time is I'll select all of my background vocals, hit a button on my Stream Deck and it says, how many tracks are we defaulting? And I tell it 10. And it goes between all of those tracks and sets them all to the level that I tell it to, usually like zero VU, track by track. So I hit a button and then I go get coffee and then I come back and my tracks are at that level or whatever.
Wow.
So that's so good.
That's really fun.
At a studio I used to work out of, they had it, and I saw them using it specifically in the sense of like more automated, because we did a lot of R&B there, and you know how it goes, like quiet vocals in one section, loud belty vocals in another. But I was automating everything, and the guy I was assisting for ended up looking at me. He's like, what are you doing? And I was like, I'm just leveling things out. He's like, don't do that. And he showed me Defaulter. I was like,
I've never heard of
I've
that.
Been wasting so much time.
I've never heard of that. That actually is super useful. I've literally you put me on to something. You've put me on a couple things now.
Sweet.
Mark.
Sweet.
That's amazing.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Can we have like a point board? Like how many points
like,
Mark
has now gotten? Plus 3 points.
Well, I've been talking too much, so that's
every new thing that you introduce to us that's gonna save us time or anything like that. Plus 1 point.
Can we just start making that a scale for the future? We just say how many marks do people get?
Oh, and then you say something like, hey, make sure that you clip gain automate every single S down instead of using a de-esser. Minus 1 point.
Exactly.
It may sound better, but that's as slow as
right. Yeah. Oh, it's so slow, but it's the way.
it's real. I know a lot of people that swear by it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been hearing that. I'm not a huge fan of changing my workflow when there's work on the table. I'm a fan of trying new things when there's nothing on my table.
Yeah.
Because that's when I'm actually freaked out. Like, I remember I told DK a few months ago, I was like, this is the first time I've had nothing to do, and I don't know of any incoming projects at the moment. And I don't know what to do with my time. Like, I'm actually feeling really weird.
Which only lasted like
2 days. Yeah, it lasted like 2 days, but that was long enough for me to be like, what do I do?
Doesn't that feel like forever, though?
It was scary, because, like, it was just like, I don't have enough hobbies for this.
Time to make a keyboard.
Right. Yeah. Man, we went on vacation.
World.
We went on vacation for a week last year, and I was like, I literally had the thought at one point while we were, like, driving to where we were going, I was like, gone for a week. I guess this is it. It's the end. And I was like, what is wrong with me? Like, everything's fine. So,
we're talking about, I have to, this is actually hot on my mind because we're in the middle of right now. We have our second child who does not have a passport, and we're finally getting ready to leave for a month to Japan because it's been way too long for us. We try to go like every year or two.
Yeah.
It's been like over 3 years now, and to the point where our grandparents and aunts and uncles are like, getting mad at us for not coming.
Right.
Now that pandemic is like slowing down a bit. Mm-hmm. So yeah, what happens, Lou, when I leave for a month? We've been talking about that and trying to figure the, but I feel like since we've started the studio, we've actually created enough autonomy where I don't think we'll hurt that bad.
Not
to like lower the level of how much I contribute to the studio.
I remember like starting out, like, this is where like automation outside of the studio is so important, because it was funny. I got a lot of people that asked, like, you know, if DK's the new guy in town and you've been here and work with everybody, like, why partner with DK? And even at the beginning stages, DK would be like, hey, I'm sorry if it feels like I'm not doing much this and that. I'm like, no, trust me. Like, I see what you do. Just keep doing what you're doing. It may take a little bit of time, but trust me, it'll work out. Thankfully, it all worked out just like I thought. But the biggest thing I saw him do was he was very organized, very automated in his workflow. Like, I worked with everybody and did not have that. So I needed some modicum of knowledge of like what that can contribute to what I already know I can do. And now I'm over here using Zapier and MailChimp and all this kind of stuff, and I don't actually have to do anything. Yeah. The coolest thing is our studio maybe gets a few calls on the line once in a while, but most of our bookings come from either online or clients that already know us that maybe just sent us a text. And even our interns, they fill out a form saying, hey, I want to request one of my like intern sessions, this and that. It'll automatically email me and DK to approve it. Once I hit the words approve in an email, it'll automatically populate it onto the calendar. Yeah. Like, I don't have to touch our calendar.
That's with Zapier.
Yeah, dude.
So it like scrapes for approved, and then it automatically. I didn't know we did that. That's Lou. That's not me. That was Lou.
You're like, we're awesome.
I paid for a Zapier account after seeing everything that you and Matt were able to do with it, and I was like, this is life.
Yeah.
This is how I'm gonna start making more money, and arguably, I've started making more money. I do a lot less work, making a lot more.
And this is where I'd like to. What's the Einstein quote?
It's like E equals MC.
No. It's something about like. It's something about like lazy people are the ones you want to hire. Lazy people are the ones that innovate.
I think Bill Gates at one point like quoted that too. Interview with him saying like, he's like, you know, I like hiring lazy people because they're the ones that want to do the least, but just want to get it over with. Yeah. It's like, I'm not necessarily lazy by intention or anything. It's just like, there's so much to do. How do I get it done faster?
And I think this is actually a really great segue because oftentimes with the work that I'm doing, I do many things and I have people hit me up all the time that says, DK, I can see you working. You're hustling. Yeah. You're doing so good. Right. And then I say, I'm glad that my marketing is working and that you think I'm working really hard.
Yes. Yeah.
And so let's segue into this. We have all the automation that makes people perceive that I'm working way harder, although really, truthfully, honestly, I am a lazy butt to the extreme.
Yeah.
And let's talk about like your experience and kind of some deep knowledge, some deep cut knowledge and recommendations on maybe algorithm hacks or some habits people should form or things that they should be looking into.
Actually, I have a good question.
Content creation, specifically about converting into clients. Mm.
Yes.
I have a good question on that. Absolutely. Because you two are dads, and me and Anna are actually talking about potentially after this summer just going ahead and fully intending to have a kid. So...
You just said that like out loud in public.
I know. This one comes out for months.
So now because you've done this in public, I can call you a liar if you don't follow through.
Oh, no.
You're going to be Liar Lou.
I've been wanting a Lou Jr. Our interns have literally Lying written Lou. Songs of this day.
Yeah.
Like, I kid you not.
Do you see Noah's comment? Lou F's.
Lou F's.
That'd be a fun summer, Lou.
Yeah, fun summer.
But anyway.
So from the point of view of new dad findings of what were the things that made the game changers? See, everybody, like you said, like once people started having their kids, they're like, I need to make more money faster or I need to make more efficient. What were some of like the aha, holy crap, I've been doing this all wrong. Even if you didn't have a kid, you should be doing it like this.
Absolutely. Yeah. And man, let's like, you could say that again. Like, even if you don't have a kid, figure this stuff out because the time that you save, if you don't have another obligation or you don't, whatever, the time that you save, you can spend it doing a couple things. And Chris talks about this a lot on his podcast. You either spend that time doing more work and making more money, or you spend that time, you know, investing in your relationships, your family, or doing something that feeds you, right? And gives input to you. You can't have creative output without input and all that stuff. I know you guys have talked about that on the show too, but, yeah, that the importance of that can't be stated enough. So I wanted to say that first. And then a couple of the holy shit, I should have been doing this the whole time things. The biggest piece of advice for anybody that kind of wants to jump down this rabbit hole I can think of is do not start by starting to automate something first. The first thing I would say to do, and this is not sexy, it's not as fun, but carry around a notepad with you. And another Chris hack I got, there are these, they're called like water notes, I think. It's basically like a notepad. It's like a pencil and paper thing that is waterproof. So it's made for boating, but I take long showers. Yeah. I take long showers because I do all of my thinking in the shower for some reason. Like that's, everybody gets so annoyed with me because I'm just like in there forever.
That's me too.
Oh, nice. Like it's a thing when we go out on like pyramid shoots and everything, the whole crew is like pissed at me because they're like, dude, we need the shower. But anyway, these shower notes, I put some of those in there, and I would just start writing down like as I was thinking of things. I also had like a notepad at the desk too. I don't just stay in the shower all day, but I would just start writing down like what's something I do repetitively every day. Like when I sit down, the easiest one you can do is the first time that you sit down at your computer, write down exactly what you do on like day one. And it's usually going to be like, I open up iMessage or I open up my browser, I open up my email or I open up Pro Tools and then I open up Yukon or whatever, like that kind of stuff is. But if you start kind of grouping all of this stuff together, then it kind of shows you, okay, well, I've done that 5 days in a row and it only takes me 30 seconds. Is this really worth automating? That's like the number one kickback that people will do, right? If you automate that, you just save 30 seconds, 5 days a week. So that's a couple minutes, right? Over the course of a month, that like obviously adds up, and you know, 2 minutes over 30 days, you saved, you just got an hour back. How much do you make an hour? Was it worth building that automation? Like, absolutely. And all it was just saying like, you know, making a Stream Deck button that says like, start my day or something like that. And it's like, here's Slack, here's your messages, here's your email or whatever it is. Just like little simple things like that. Another one was like, you know, every time that I prep a session, this is like more relevant for everybody too, right? Like when you prep a session, assuming you set up processes, you always like color code your tracks. Maybe you do strip silence. Maybe you do a bunch of routing to buses, or you import a template, however it is that you like to do it. If you've actually like taken the time to write out your process for every time that you have a mix, with a couple conditions, because nothing's ever the same. But if you've taken the time to write that out, that can start shining a light on like, this is what I could automate. That was a Soundflow script I built, was going track by track and cutting out all of the silence on every single track, so that when I look at my session, I just see the clips and I don't see long lines of silence or whatever. I hit one button at the start of my session prep, I come back in 2 minutes and the entire session's like stripped and ready, whatever. So that's, yeah, little things like that. That was one that I was like, I'm strip silencing every time I'm in here. And it's always like, scroll down the next track, hit strip, scroll down the next trap, hit strip, you know, so that kind of stuff. Does that answer the question?
Yeah, no, absolutely. No, I think it does. So the takeaway from that one is to be aware and start to take note of things that could be automated. And whether it's a big, whether it's something small that only saves you 10 to 30 seconds of time, or whether it's something that saves you an hour, whatever it is, just think of things. And there are many things I feel like that in my time, especially like things with the studio or the podcast, where it took some kind of manual labor, like video editing is not something that I can autonomize, right? Mm-hmm. At this point in time. So like I had to then instead like build a manual and a set of directions to then get like an intern or somebody else to automate and send them all of the assets to use to put together for the video. So there's lots of different things, even if it's not a computer doing it.
Yes.
But even with my other company, Launchpod Media, which is a media marketing company, like the first couple years of business, me and the two other owners, we would sit down and write pages and pages of manuals. Like job descriptions and how they would fulfill different tasks and the different ways that they would do this. I had to do a whole set of manuals on like how to edit podcasts in Pro Tools and using like shuffle mode and what an EQ is and just like dragging pictures in and everything like that. And it ended up, it was super tedious. Like we wrote literally almost like 1,000 pages of manuals between the three of us.
Right.
But ever since then, I mean, it's been a couple of years now, like there's no question. Like we're just like, here you go. Whenever we hire someone new or replace someone's like, here you go. And they're off to the waterworks. Like, that's it. Or yeah. Not to the water. That was an incorrect American idiom. They're not crying. But they're off to do the work.
I like the imagery of it. It's like, congratulations, you're hired. Now off to work.
Right.
Waterworks.
Sorry, I'm really bad with my metaphors and idioms. I'm so bad.
Perfect.
Well, I said, don't make a mountain
out of a molehole. I was convinced it was molehole for a long time. I mean, they make holes, not mountain, not hills.
There's a hill there. There's a hole in the hill. So, you know.
Yeah. And it like also like alliteration or like rhyming.
I'd be a little more impressed if you said don't make a volcano out of it. But, you know.
Yeah. There's a bunch that I've like, I like just cannot get right. Or I just don't
make a mole out of
a
volcano.
Yeah, don't make a mole out of a volcano. Anyway, talking about automation, and let's go back to, sorry, I know we bombarded you with like 5 questions at once, but back to the original one, which was as you have Echo Punch, which is kind of like Later or Buffer, which we could talk about that, automating your postings on social medias.
Mm-hmm.
But as a professional, as a marketing guy, been involved, and I'm sure that you've done your fair share of research on the algorithm and different things that people have done and Gary V.
Yes. Yeah.
What are some of your recommendations as far as what people should be doing or applying right now as an artist, as a producer, as an engineer, in order to get more converting clients? Like, what are some of your recommendations?
Being number one, I think, is just be visible all the time. Kind of an always be posting thing. Content marketing is super, super huge. It's very powerful. I personally just started doing it more this year, and I hired on somebody to help with it because I just don't have time, even though like I have Echo Punch. It's still, you have to put a lot of time into content creation. So I think, yeah, staying relevant, like, or not staying relevant, but staying visible is the important thing. So another part of staying visible is not just putting out noise, right? And this is something that's important for me, and it's important for me with PureMix too, in my role and being as much of a part as, you know, that as I am. You know, we could put out images of like, here's your top 10 vocal cheat sheet EQ things all day long. And it would get plenty of likes and all of that stuff. It would buzz around. But we don't believe it either. Like, you can't give a vocal EQ cheat sheet that addresses every vocal. Those things can be misleading, in my opinion, personally. That doesn't mean that I'm right, but in my opinion, that's
no, you're true. Definitely so right. We're on the boat. We're on the okay. side of your
right. Everybody yeah. knows to put the lead vocal on the left.
Yeah, you put the lead vocal on the left, and you always boost 10K by 7 dB.
Just make sure that you filter out everything below 18K on the vocal.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, it really gives an airy sound. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, my dog really likes it.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my gosh. Dogger. This was us trolling for anybody that's taking it seriously. That was us trolling for
Wait,
a second.
I wasn't.
Oh no, don't say that, Lou. You're confusing the audience.
I honestly, in all fairness, I do the 18K thing, like high pass everything up to 18K, then boost it up 35 dB, maybe 37. And then I flip it out
just
of phase
sure
and blend it back
it.
In for parallel.
Oh, you blend okay, you blend it back in. Okay.
No, I don't do this.
Okay. Yeah, I was like,
so anyway.
Like, okay, that's believable. Like, okay, parallel.
Yeah, right.
EQ.
He's doing some parallel
like,
thing.
Why you would do that? I don't know, but it made sense.
Oh, the phase rotation on everything up there is just amazing.
You know, somebody once asked me, like, how do you phase flip a mic? I told him you got to put it upside down.
Yeah.
This is just bad engineering advice. Don't listen to us, please. Please don't. I don't want anybody.
I can do crusty old man jokes for days here. So.
Make sure to not put the antifreeze. Make sure to put the antifreeze in your oil.
Yes.
No.
Don't do that. Don't do that. That's bad advice.
If it's it's an audio version of a dad joke, I'm already down for it.
Anyway, sorry. We'll let you answer.
Okay. So yeah, like kind of against like that. Sort of like the cheap content thing where it's like, I'm just going out for likes or whatever. Like, I think it's very important to give your audience a reason, obviously a reason to show up. And this is true if you're an artist, if you're an engineer, producer, if you're doing any kind of posting. If you're just posting, like, let's say you're an artist, right? And you have your single coming out a week from today. So you post today, I've got exciting news for you coming tomorrow. And then tomorrow you're like, here it is. My new single's coming out in 6 days. Go pre-save it. And then day five, hey, did you pre-save my single? Day four, go pre-save my single up to the release day, right? This happens with like a ton of artists. Think about your experience on the receiving end of that, which is like, you know, I'm in bed, I'm browsing through Instagram in a very unhealthy manner before I go to bed, right? And I see this guy who's just yelling at me who like, maybe I liked him because of one song or something like that, but I'm not super hip to his music. Like, let's say, you know, taking it out of the engineer perspective, like you're just a fan, right? And this guy just keeps telling me like, pre-save my single, pre-save my single, pre-save my single. And it's like, what did you do something for me? Go clean my bathroom. Whatever, you know, it's like, that's what that feels like to me. It's just like people shouting at you with noise, 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 do this for me. And it's like, dude, I opened up Instagram because I'm like turning my brain off and just being a pile of garbage right now. Like, I don't want to come here and get a task on my to-do list. So you have to help them be a piece of garbage and give them something entertaining. That's really it. Like, instead of saying like, my new single comes out in 4 days, go pre-save it. Try, hey, here's the story behind this very powerful lyric in my song that I like a lot. It was all about blah, 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 and giving an actual piece of information about yourself and a piece of entertainment and using the platform to extend your message and your form of entertainment. So that's probably like the biggest thing for me is like, social media is not just a place to go post so that people see that you're posting and you feed the algorithm God. It's also about you're there to entertain people the same way that you are telling stories with your music. Do it there too. It's another medium to express yourself.
So. Absolutely. I think the biggest quote takeaway from this show is now, let people be the pile of crap.
Yeah. And they are. And like, you got to help them be a pile of crap.
Help them be a pile of crap.
I'm passionate about this.
I'll be honest. Like, I think about that all the time when people are like, oh, you should post that. It's like, nah, I don't know. And then the thing I want to post is like, this would make somebody laugh. And weirdly enough, I've just noticed that anytime I post anything that's like, hey, new episode, like I get like 7 likes. And then I post something that's like, hey, guys, I just wanted to show you this like really cool trick. It's going to make your vocal sound really dope. It might work for you. It might not. But I don't know. Just give me 1 minute. I'll show it to you. Yeah. And then that thing gets like 500 likes. And you're like, what the hell?
Right. Yeah.
The funniest thing that happened to me this week is I've been trying to post like 2 or 3 times a day on at least on Instagram and on at least once a day on YouTube Shorts and Twitter. TikTok and Twitter a couple times a day. Anyway, so I've been doing this thing the last couple weeks. I've been posting a meme, just a visual photo, no rollover, no carousel, just a meme. And both of them happened to blow up so much that like 80% of the people reached, and we're like in the tens of thousands for per post. 80% of the people reached were not followers. And then also on top of that, someone reposted the image that I stole and credited me for making it. And I had to post it. I was like, I love getting credit for stealing memes.
Right. As much as the next guy. Yeah.
And for companies like, I mean, I don't know if it helps my personal brand, but I mean, like, if I was a company entity without like a personal image to it, I mean, I think sharing and making memes would be pretty useful as far as like, that's a classic example of something that people would share.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I like the idea that you said, which most people should be thinking about as well. Most people are thinking about how they can best showcase themselves, but it's more like they're thinking kind of selfishly. You got to think, who is your audience and what do they want? And that's the focus that you were talking about that I really like the most. Like, I always talk about this. As an engineer, I think my, I don't want to say it's a mistake because I really enjoy it. And if it was, I would have stopped doing this long ago. But I made a podcast that ended up blowing up and doing really, really well. Like one, and that's for my peers to a certain degree. Like, it's mostly other engineers and producers. And usually other engineers, my peers, are not the ones that hire me. So I made the mistake of creating content for peers, not for customers.
Yes.
Which is something to think about, right? And so tell us a little bit about like Echo Punch and how you help automate people doing that.
Yeah.
Automate creating content.
Yeah, that was a very good synopsis. And there's a huge bomb dropped in there about like who you're creating content for. That's a huge thing. So put more thought into that, everybody. So Echo Punch, yes, to transition to it. So Echo Punch is very similar to like Buffer, Hootsuite, or Later in that it is an automated social media poster. So you can go on, create your post for next Tuesday, whatever, and, you know, drop in your image, your caption and everything. You schedule it to go live later, then you walk away. And next Tuesday, that time comes and you start getting DMs on Instagram or likes, like notifications because it posted and it went live without you having to be there for it. So that's the part of Echo Punch that we had to build in order to do what we wanted to do, was we had to like recreate this massive product, and that was a pain in the butt, but we got through it. So what started Echo Punch was I have a developer friend who, was after me for a long time, like to create an app. And I kept on being like, you know, I make records. I don't have an app idea. I make records. I don't have an app idea. And he stopped by the studio one day, in 2019. And we had just finished, at the studio, I just finished mixing a record for an artist who she, had no production experience leading up to this. She had been in a band and made records, but she had never done anything herself. No DAW knowledge or anything. She was a graphic designer professionally, had a pretty good career going. She saved a bunch of money, quit her job, learned Ableton, and made one of my favorite records I've ever worked on. And she took like I think it was like a good part of a year off from work to make this record. And then I wound up like getting the pleasure of mixing it. And she spent 6 months in Columbus between mixing the record with me and also working on sculptures for every song that was on the record. So she made like claymation style sculptures that were themed to every song. They all had like their own individual sets. She did animation stuff with them on top of like learning Ableton and how to produce her own music. And then she spent a bunch of money with me mixing the record and was off work for about a year and a half. We got the masters back from the mastering engineer and we had like a little, you know, kind of like celebration party at the studio. I put it up on the monitors and we listened to the whole record top down, no talking, like just enjoying. And at the end of it, I was like, so where are you at with the release? Like, are you all done with all the content, with all the sculpture stuff? Like, when's this thing going to hit? And she's like, well, I'm pretty much all done. I think DistroKid can get the first single up in about 2 weeks. So I'm going to go upload it tonight and we'll see what happens. It was like, like it was complete like no hold on or whatever. So I like immediately like pulled up our content calendar at Pyramix and I started explaining to her like we make these videos that can cost tens of thousands of dollars to create. Like we don't just put them up on the site or like out on YouTube without any sort of marketing plan and throw like caution to the wind there and hope for a good thing. Like there's a lot of thought that goes into that. There's like pre-shadow campaigns and it's all evergreen content. Like the video that we shot with CLA 2 years ago is still just as good today as it was back then. It might not look the same because we have different cameras, but the knowledge is there. So you have to keep that content alive. So we have like post shadow campaigns where it's, you know, reminding people that that video exists on the site and all of that. So basically just showed her like the concept of a content calendar and like, you know, what I was saying about like, let's tell the story about this song and how it came to be, or like, do BTS pictures of you doing the sculptures, all that kind of stuff. So anyway, like that same day that we had that listening party, my friend happened to like stop by the studio and I still had all that pulled up on my computer. He's like, oh, what are you working on? And I was like, oh, I told him the story about this record and everything. And then I explained what the conversation was. And he was like, sweet, there's our app. I'll call you tomorrow. I was like, what? So basically what Echo Punch does is you go in and if you're an artist, you say, I have a single I'm going to release. And there's a list of campaigns that are pre-made for you. So you could select one and you say, I'm going to do a single release. And then it says, cool, what's the name of your single? And you tell it the name and then you tell it all your handles and all that stuff. And it takes you to a calendar that is preloaded with a bunch of different post ideas for it. So it'll give you all the content ideas of like telling the story behind a lyric. So it'll ask you like, what's your favorite lyric in the song? And then it'll, you know, tell us about it. So from there, you just go in and you maybe change the text that we put in about, you know, what the caption is. You might want to put your own voice on that or like change out the imagery and all of that. Like you have to put your own visuals in, obviously. But then those posts are automatically scheduled for you and they'll go live whenever the post or whenever you schedule it for. So that's Echo
Punch. That's actually really cool.
Yeah.
So it's really great. Is this something that you continually use every release, or is this like something that you have and maintain perpetually, or is this something that you mostly want to hire out and use when you have releases?
So you can use it without any of the campaign suggestion stuff, just like you would use Buffer, Who's Sweeter Later. You can go in there and just make a one-off post if you want to. Or you can use some of the pre-made campaigns. And we have ones in there that are, for example, like 30 days of content. So that's going to be like 30 days of post ideas. Technically, you could redo those over and over again. And just as long as you kind of have the wherewithal to be like, okay, you know, it's telling me to post another picture from my studio. I need to make this one unique from the one that I did last month or whatever, you know, but you could technically use that template all over again. And you could think of them as the post suggestions as writing prompts, the same way that songwriters do. So that kind of thing. Currently it's geared toward musicians and artists, but we're making some campaigns that are actually for producers and engineers and podcasters as well right now. So
that's super awesome. I'm gonna have to try this out because I know that there's a free trial and we'll make sure that everybody can get a link to it. We'll probably do like a third party link. So just to have it, whether we use it or not. If you want to go to mixingmusicpodcast.com/echopunch. Once again, that's mixingmusicpodcast.com/echopunch, ECHOPUNCH. We'll have a link for you to go directly to Echo Punch and check that out. They have a trial. How long is your trial period?
So currently, if you get it now, this was something that we started with the launch is like you have access to go in and check it all out right now. You can go in and you could make all your posts, and technically you could go in and create like a year's worth of content right now. You don't have to pay until you go and post. So when you connect your social accounts, that's when you actually put in your payment info. That being said, that's going to change.
That's such a great idea.
Thanks. Yeah. We think it's going to change though. So like okay. Go in and check it out now. If you're curious about doing it that way. So it's basically like the product, you see all the features before you actually end up paying, but we're probably going to be moving to a 14 or 30 day trial pretty soon. So
cool. Well, that's awesome. Once again, mixingmusicpodcast.com/EchoPunch. At this time, I want to quickly, on that note, I think this is a perfect time to, before we end the interview, talk about our sponsor real quick. And I think everybody that we've interviewed so far has loved our sponsor, and so I love bringing it up and make people feel on the spot about it. But we want a big, big shout out to our main sponsor, iZotope. And if you're interested in using any iZotope products, you can go to iZotope.com/MMPodcast to get 10% off any of their products. Or instead of a 7-day trial, if you use that special link, it will give you an extended 30-day trial to any of their monthly subscription packages. And as you know, Lou and I are huge fans of iZotope and love all their stuff from production to mixing to mastering, all that jazz. And they have quite a lot of unique offerings that are specific for iZotope only that solves a lot of problems, especially within the RX field. And like Ozone Advanced has some really cool tools that iZotope or Ozone Normal, not the advanced version, doesn't offer, and like low end focus and spectral
master rebalance
shaper. Yeah, spectral shaper, lots of really really cool things to try out. So once again, 10% off or extended trial period, iZotope.com/MMPodcast. All right, Mark, put you on the spot.
All right,
do you use iZotope products?
Yes, I have some set up with SoundFlow macros to make them happen. Absolutely.
There you go. Yeah. I think that's all we need to say. I hate, but also love putting people on the spot, because I'm like afraid that one person is like, I've never used iZotope. Be like, Right. Actually, I hate iZotope, but we haven't met that person yet.
No, it's impossible. Yeah. Specifically, I'll shout one out, and I use it just on the default setting, mouth declicker. There, for some reason, like, man, one of the biggest things that can pull me out of a song is somebody going right before a word.
Yeah.
And just default
setting.
Yeah,
or like when they're talking.
Yeah.
Like the, so, yeah.
I thought you were just going to stop at talking. I was like, damn.
No, the you know, the click, cluck, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's true. That's amazing. Well, thank you so much for that. We're coming to the end of the show, and I want to get some last little bit of expertise from you here. All in all, you've gotten a lot of unique insight editing and managing and creating all of this content from PureMix. Hmm. Of course, you're a producer, mixer, engineer yourself. But I wanted to talk about, out of all the times that you've absorbed material and come up with techniques on your own, what are some really helpful techniques for beginner to intermediate engineers?
Okay, cool. This one I'm going to pull from the page of Vance Powell. it goes back to intention, which, like, again, I know that you're big on as well. That is by far my favorite word in everything that we do, outside of the studio too, but we'll keep it in here for the sake of time. Moving with intention is the biggest thing. So let's, going from the page of Vance Powell here, he records everything the way it's supposed to come out in the mix. Like he's mixing from the very start of it. He's not like throwing up drum mics and then coming over to Pro Tools and then creating a balance on the faders. He's recording them at the level that he wants them to be at. So when you go to mix something that Vance has recorded, you have the faders at Unity and Pro Tools, and you hear the exact rough mix. That intention behind what he's doing is baked into that recording. There's a lot of flexibility with all the things that we can do, obviously, but when you have the faders at Unity, you're hearing exactly what Vance wanted you to hear. That is probably the single most thing that changed record making for me. That happened before I was with Pure Mix. I went to a workshop with Vance and he did that. And it was unbelievable to me just how much personality the recording have, because you're committing to sounds. It's not even that it's an old analog way of working. You can do this if you're a beat maker in Ableton. You can set up the volume on your virtual instruments to do these exact same things and get the sounds that you're going for on the way in, baking them in. Not to make the mixing engineer's life harder, please. I'm begging you as well. But that's basically it, is just move with intention from the start, get your idea in there, make it sound great on the way in. Don't lean on things like, I can reamp this later. If you need to, sure. If your intention changed, sure, but go for the right sound on the way in. That's probably the biggest thing I can say. And a tip to do that is do not touch your faders in Pro Tools or whatever DAW it is while you're recording. Leave them at Unity and like try to do it a different way. Do it at your record level, do it on your virtual instrument, leave the faders at Unity and see what happens.
That's actually a really great one. So don't mix with the faders when you're recording. Mix with by turning the gain, like the gain down, or turning the gain up, or whatever. EQing on the way in, or just at least having it at the ready. Things of that nature. And I think that's actually really important. I get a lot of producers that DM me, and I'm sure that we all get that, is producers that should know how to engineer. Like, as a producer, you should know how to engineer to a certain degree. Maybe you don't specialize in mixing, but you should know how to mix to a certain degree. I think that's usually one of the biggest solutions for most people, is learn how to mix while you're recording. Like, it should sound good and get to a point where you're vibing and you're able to, like, that emotion translates at least enough before you send it off to the mix engineer. Yeah. And then as a mixer, that saves me so much hassle, because now I don't have to guess how much of everything you want. You already have an idea. Now I'm just enhancing the idea.
Yeah. And the rough mix doesn't sound crazy.
Yeah, there you go. And it's enjoyable in itself. Yeah. So thank you so much, Mark. Once again, if you're interested in Echo Punch, I mean, puremix.net is amazing. Do I need to say anything? You can go to your website is markabrams.com. What is it?
Markabramsmixing.com.
Markabramsmixing.com, as well as you're on Instagram, mark_abrams_audio. Mixing Music Podcast /Echo Punch. Couple other shout outs that I want to do. If you want to watch live on Twitch, you can go to mixingmusicpodcast.com/live and follow us on Twitch. That'll take you directly to the live. We're also sponsored by Antares. So mixingmusicpodcast.com/autotune. If you're interested in learning more about autotune and their different products over there. There's so many other things that I want to shout out with. And follow us on, subscribe on YouTube if you want to see what we look like and see how handsome Mark is and how handsome Luscious Lou is.
Subscribe to our OnlyFans.
Yeah, so, no, hold on, wait a second. YouTube.
Like, I'm trying to pitch YouTube right now.
So that is Mixing Music Podcast /YouTube. And I spent this week spending a lot of time doing like the redirects, so it'll be really easy for everybody. Or you can just go to mixingmusicpodcast.com if you want to do that. Check that all that out. All right. Thank you so much for your time, Mark. I really, really appreciate it. You're such a fun, genuine dude.
You guys get too, a lot man. Of
yeah. Yeah. I get a lot of people wanting to do interviews or want to hang out, and there's a lot more pride involved, and I'm really grateful that we were able to just have fun on this episode.
Yeah, heck yeah. You know, I love what you guys are doing. I'm like honored to be here. Thank you so much for having me. I really, really appreciate it. It's been a pleasure to talk to you guys. And I want to talk to you after when you're available. So
yes, hell yeah.
Cool.
So on that note, please leave a 5-star review, whether you're on Apple or on Spotify. And once again, we do have exclusive episodes of the podcast now available every single week. So at mixingmusicpodcast.com/exclusive. If you love the podcast and want to hear more of us, you can pay $4 a month or $40 a year, and it unlocks 3 times the amount of episodes than you currently have available to you. That's right. So if you right now, we only have 1 episode a week. But if you love technical skills or technical information, and you love the podcast, well, guess what? We release the podcast 6 a.m. Eastern times on Tuesdays. But if you pay the $4 and go to the exclusive content, it'll unlock episodes every Wednesdays and Thursdays as well. It is amazing. It is super awesome. Braden, who I've asked to take lead on that, does such a great job curating the content. So the content we kind of take from different videos on YouTube or other podcasts, and we play like 30-second to 2-minute long clips, and we kind of expand and give our own thoughts and kind of curate that content. So it's actually really great. And we try to limit it to specifically technical skills, which is what everybody's been asking about and wanting to do. So once again, that's mixingmusicpodcast.com/exclusive. It is super fun. It's way goofy, and it's actually really, really insightful. Some things that you can take away from, practical. So on that note, happy mixing, my friends, and stay saucy.
With the McDonald's app, you can get your favorite thing delivered to your door. So if you were looking for a reason to skip washing those dishes you left in the sink, consider this a sign. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Right now, get $0 delivery fee with any purchase of $15 or more, only in the app. At participating McDonald's, minimum purchase excludes tax and service fees. Delivery prices may be higher than in restaurants. Other fees may apply, not valid with any other offer, discount, or coupon.
Yo, what up? It's DK. Thank you so much for listening to the Mixing Music Podcast. I just want to do a quick plug about Antares and Auto-Tune. Antares makes the original industry standard Auto-Tune that we all know and love the sound of. We are sponsored by them, so if you visit mixingmusicpodcast.com/Auto-Tune, we do get a small kickback from every purchase. Thank you so much for supporting the show. Please enjoy this episode.